You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, June 9th, 2010. This is episode 135, Cash or Credit. Back again for another Wells Tech Podcast. My name is Martin Spriggs, and I work as the Chief Technology Officer of the Synod and just a general technology enthusiast, and my technology enthusiast partner, maybe even more so, is Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. I'm coming to you from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, where I work as the Wells Technology Trainer, and I love my job. I get to talk to people all day long about using technology in ministry and assisting in whatever way I can and bring them up to speed on the different technology that's out there.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
It is.
I do a lot of workshops. In fact, I just got back from one yesterday. I was doing a productivity workshop for the good folks out in North Mankato, Minnesota. And I always do a little bit of introduction about myself and how I was trained as a pastor, served as a pastor for 6 or 7 years. And now the Synod asked me to serve as its CTO. And what a joy it is to be able to kind of marry ministry and technology, and that's just a really cool thing that I really enjoy waking up every morning and coming into work because I love what I do, and podcasting has become a part of that for me, and I really enjoy kind of the time we have together and the time that it takes to kind of plan the shows, because I think that gets us in touch with different people and great ideas, and this show is no different. We've got a lot of great feedback and a lot of good ideas that we're going to bring to the table as usual.
Absolutely. You know, when people, when I get to meet people that listen to the podcast, whether it's virtually or face-to-face, you know, and I hear positive, you know, feedback about the work we do on the podcast, I say, well, it's because of our community of listeners that we do what we do and that we have the material that we have. And it's a wonderful learning experience for me to get to be in contact with all those listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I don't think you did either when we started this, but it's really been it's really a highlight of my week to do this. So,
bit of a challenge, especially when we do things like books,
some books
on the podcast. But you know, challenge is good, and there's always new things to learn. And I definitely have learned things with the book that we're wrapping up today.
Yep.
And yay, emphasis on wrapping up, because I'm ready to
move
get to
on.
The end of
You're
this
ready
one.
To move on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this chapter is all about worship. Those of you that have been following along at home, or even those that haven't. We are on the final chapter, chapter 8, of a book that we've been reviewing and reading through together, The Hidden Power of Electronic Culture, How Media Shapes Faith, the Gospel, and Church, from Shane Hipps, who is a Mennonite pastor, with very smart guy. You can obviously tell that in how he writes and some of the ways he thinks about things. So we're doing our best to keep up, and this last chapter kind of brings it all together, and he gets into something called emerging worship, where he compares that to the Mac versus PC, and how that grew, and there were different approaches to it, and the graphical user interface, and the commoditization of the operating system, and so on and so forth, and the line of thinking here is kind of interesting, and as he gets toward the middle of this chapter, and those of you that have the book, maybe the first relevant passage here that we would want to share is on page 150. He begins to talk about how media is used in the church, and the trend now, Sally, is that churches try and use as much multimedia as possible. They have videos, and they have projectors, and they have screens, and they have you know, sophisticated audio equipment. Some have light shows. You know, it's pretty extreme. He calls that the spectacle. So he says, in this sense, spectacle, by its very nature, reinforces an individualistic understanding of faith. He's comparing and contrasting through this whole chapter the difference between spectacle and this community gathering together and watching one person versus a community of Christians coming together and maybe even in smaller groups and just the experience that the smaller group setting has versus the, you know, kind of the stadium seating approach.
Yeah, I got, you know, kind of echoed back to some of the earlier chapters in the book as I was reading through these sections, Martin, and just a lot of emphasis on the shift toward the visual,
right?
More the Eastern kind of approach to things. We talked early in the book about language and how the Chinese character set, for instance, represents pictorially the words that they're saying versus our you know, alphabet that we use, where we make the connections by the words we're reading and build the pictures in our own mind. And again, you know, we're seeing that in this chapter played out, that these worship patterns are a lot more visual, a lot more, you know, not engaging, but just a show,
right,
almost to watch.
Right. I mean, they focus on different senses, of course, and they, your brain reacts differently to different inputs, of course, and that's nothing new. I think throughout the book he's very careful, though, to say one is not better than the other. The point of his book, I think, is you just need to be aware of it, you know, that the medium that you use does make a difference. And we probably should revisit that, and I circled a phrase back, actually he says it again on page 152. Our medium is our message. And for many years, I thought, and many of us thought, I think, that, you know, the message is what's important. The medium can change and shift and should change and shift as society changes and shifts. That's not necessarily true, is the contention of the book. And as I read, this is probably the third time I've read through the book, I think I'm beginning to get that, you know, that the medium that you use does send a message, you know, that you can't totally separate the two.
And then I think the other component of that is that the audience receiving has a different brainwave that they're receiving on. I don't know. It's just a different world that we live in. And because the message is influenced by the medium and the audience recipient is used to receiving things in certain ways, or their brain works in certain ways based on not the medium of the church, but the medium of the world that they're involved in, you know, that definitely has influence over, you know, how the message gets received by them.
Yep, yep. Then I think maybe where we want to spend a little bit of time, just to kind of give a nice recap to the book, is on pages 154 and 155. What kind of caught me right away, and maybe it caught you, Sally, being married to a pastor, is a survey that he quoted at the top of page 154. He said, according to one survey, the number one reason pastors leave the church is feeling inadequate to manage the complexities of the job. There's probably a lot of truth to that, especially as you think of all the technologies and the many hats, you know, that a pastor has to wear, and the many channels that he has to has at his disposal to communicate the gospel. Back in the day, it was just the pulpit, right? But now there's social media, there's websites, there's blogs, there's even the pulpit has become a little more complicated when you add in, you know, multimedia and video and all of that. I guess I believe this statement.
Yeah, and I think the thing that is understood in the statement but isn't specifically stated is that pastors feel the weight of the importance of the message that they,
right,
have to deliver.
Oh, yeah.
And so because of, you know, that gospel that they want to proclaim by all means possible, it becomes a real challenge and very overwhelming when they feel ineffective at doing that.
Yep, you want to do by all possible means, as Paul would say. Then that paragraph, the very next paragraph is kind of revealing too. In the midst of this, a flood of books and conferences urges pastors to find ways to become relevant to culture. This usually means the adoption of multimedia technology and hardware as a central part of worship. Their logic is simple. The language of the culture is electronic media. Therefore, we should speak that language in the church. Many in the church are responding to this by taking risks with electronic media. Extensive resources are being sunk into editing equipment, audio systems, video projectors, light shows, and more. There is no other period in church history when relevance has cost so much time and money, and this kind of technology is only getting more expensive. Most congregations simply cannot afford these things, but they are encouraged to seek them as means to an evangelistic end. But that's a that's a pretty weighty paragraph or two.
It is, and I think it's really telling. It's funny that you and I both zeroed in and highlighted the same things in our books, mm-hmm. because, you know, the pressure is definitely there. And, you know, I guess one thing I hope is that we're not adding to that pressure
right.
by
yeah.
What we're doing in
too.
The Wells
yeah.
Tech podcast. but, you know, the world around us is making use of all of this technology, and I think... we've got to keep technology in its place as the servant to deliver the message where appropriate, where it can be done with excellence, not doing technology for the sake of doing technology to put
yep.
on a show.
Because it can roll over you. You can actually be consumed by technology and really to the neglect of ministry if you're not careful. I think that was one of the reasons I wanted to look at this book again, is that it does make that case because you and I are kind of we live and breathe it, and it's part of our job, but we kind of have to wade through that and figure out for our listeners what really is useful for ministry. So
yep. Keep it in check. You know, Martin, I liked the last sentence at the bottom of 154 going to the top of 155. They said they're talking about, you know, the infinite resources that Hollywood has to produce
yep.
these billions of media bytes that we're hit with every day, from television commercials to television to film, et cetera. And, you know, all the time and research that goes into all that they do. And then they say, compare this with the resources of local congregations. If our worship services imitate these forms with amateur multimedia slideshows and homemade videos in an effort to be relevant, it's like serving ramen noodles to people who eat catered meals every day. And I got some boys that would argue that ramen noodles is like the best thing in the world.
My college-age son says that too, yeah.
Yeah.
He finishes that paragraph saying, our approach simply cannot be one of cultural imitation. Yeah, I highlighted the exact same phrase. Boy, that's true, isn't it?
Had a conversation with my sister this summer, and she was telling me about an experience she had going to a little small church in Mississippi just for a Wednesday night worship service. And she's not a regular church goer, so it was kind of her first experience in this church and that kind of thing. And she was shocked because they had the screens and the words and, you know, all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff going on in this little country church, you know. And she was like, that is not why I came to church. And it didn't look like it was done well.
Right.
You know, and she just was very saddened almost mm-hmm. that they felt the need to do that in a worship setting. So
yeah.
I thought it was an interesting reaction.
Yeah, great. Shane goes on in that very next paragraph, though, to kind of qualify it a little bit. He says this does not mean electronic media belong only in the hands of experts. Rather, this is an invitation to pause and reflect on the passions and gifts of our congregations. It's an opportunity to ask pointed questions about our use of electronic media. Are our practices indigenous or imitative? Do they emanate from the artistic impetus of the Spirit or a response to consumer demands? These are the subtle but crucial assessments we must make when determining why and how to employ electronic media in worship. And then a little bit further down that page, I'm on 155, a section entitled Worship Without Hardware, which I thought was kind of humorous too. Second paragraph, he said, when electronic media are taken to extremes, we become spectators of the gospel rather than participants in the kingdom of God. And then the last sentence on that page, more importantly, we must recognize that using electronic media is not the only way to become relevant in our culture. And you know, I stated to you, sometimes we struggle with what to talk about when we look at these chapters, but I emailed you this morning put this in our mind map that, boy, just a good review of these two pages is a great way to sum up really what he said in all the previous pages, because I think it makes it pretty clear and makes a good case.
Absolutely, Martin, and I guess I can say I'm getting it just a little bit. Maybe when I've read it three times, I'll get it even better. But yes. I have learned quite a bit from what Mr. Hipps shares in the book, and I think some really good lessons for us to be aware of as mm-hmm. we consider media in our worship setting.
Yep. So, with that behind us, we don't know what our next book is. If anybody out there has some suggestions, we'll let Sally pick this one. So,
lucky me, just, so I can't complain.
There's no gripes that she can make. I can do the griping.
All right. But we won't happy. Start that till the fall, right?
That's
Martin?
Right. We've got some other plans for this summer, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But in the meantime, there was a bunch of news in the technology world.
Boy, there was. You got to love it when Apple has a press conference. And,
yes,
we
right.
get to
the
see
world
new
stops.
Hardware.
The technology world stops and listens.
Yes. And I guess Steve Jobs had a bit of a stoppage during the press conference as well.
He had some Wi-Fi
yesterday
problems.
Yesterday actually
yeah.
marked the introduction of iPhone 4. It won't be available for sale till toward the end of June. Mm-hmm. But in his presentation, apparently, he had Wi-Fi issues. Did you hear about that?
I did, yes.
A little bit embarrassing, and it left.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody's fired as a result of that.
That's what I tell my husband. Somebody lost their job over that.
That's right. Didn't want to be in the limo with him after that on the way
yeah.
home.
It left him open to a bit of heckling from the crowd, and apparently at one point he turned to someone and said, "What do we do?" or something to that effect, and someone from the crowd yelled, "Verizon," which I thought was really funny. Apparently, you know, there's some disgruntled people about AT&T data rate changes uh-huh. that have gone into effect as of June 7th as well.
Yes.
And what was unlimited data rates mm-hmm. For the price of $30 a month has now gone to $25 a month, but you only get 2 gigabyte of data transfer rate, and then additional gig or $10 a month approximately. So
right.
that put the hurt on a few people, I think, with that rate change.
Yep. I looked at our bill. Our family plan is through AT&T, and my daughter has an iPhone, and I have an iPhone, or did have an iPhone, which I'll talk about in a minute. But it works in our favor, and I think in most cases, and that's what AT&T is saying, in most cases this will be a price reduction for people. So that's effective right now. I think it was available last Monday. So you may want to go, if you're an AT&T customer and you have a data plan, and this applies to all the phones through AT&T, not just the iPhone. And if you have a data plan, you may want to take a look at that and see what your data usage is. I know that, for instance, my daughter, this is my married daughter, who's still on our plan because it's just cheaper that way, she uses under 200 megabytes a month on average. So I'm going to maybe recommend to her that she look at that 200 megabyte plan, because that would save $15 a month. So that in our case, that's kind of a good deal. Now, I haven't looked at my son's data plan, so I'm suspicious that
scary.
Might be higher than 200 megabytes. But
watch out, Aaron. He's talking about.
So take a look at that. I think this is probably coming to all the carriers. Now, you can be grandfathered in if you're in the $30 a month unlimited plan now. If you don't terminate that, you can stay with that. They will not force you to go to the capped plan.
I did notice as I was digging up links for the show notes that they dropped the price of the 3GS phone to $149 for a 16 gig and $199 for a 32 gig. Mm-hmm. So if you aren't yet an iPhone user and were thinking of going that route, this might be the time to buy a new iPhone before
yeah, it's getting
the
more
new
reasonable.
Version comes out.
Yeah, the 3GS out. Is a great phone. My son has that version, and he's very happy with it. Very snappy, speedy. So smartphones are coming down And I think there's a lot of useful ministry uses for them. I mean, I would kind of be lost without, because of the amount of traveling I do, would really be lost without without my smartphone. And so I think there are definitely some uses there. I was not overwhelmed, I guess, with the iPhone 4 feature set. I don't know about you, Sally. I mean, they've thrown in some video. The display's a little bit better. It's not any bigger. The display's the same. I guess they do have some kind of multitasking, right, and HP video recording, but there were a lot of things that people were hoping for that that didn't make their way in there either. So
I was actually hoping for an updated iPod Touch with a camera. That's my number one thing on my wish list, and not happening this summer, apparently, so we'll keep waiting for that.
But apparently the iPhone 4 update is available to iPod Touch users for free this time, so...
That's great.
Pay for that,
so more iPhone news is that Skype announced you can do Skype to Skype calling over your 3G calling plan and do that for free until the end of 2010. So
yes,
if you haven't
could do it for a while, yes.
Yeah, and so if you haven't tried that out yet, you might want to download Skype 2.0 application for the iPhone and give that a try.
Yep. And finally, there's some Google news.
Yeah. Having to do with Google Wave. First of all, I'm not sure if we talked about it, but Google Wave is now open. It's no longer in beta.
Right.
So you don't need an invitation specifically to get a Wave account. You just need to go to wave.google.com and you can use your regular Google account or create a Google account to have a Wave account. We do have a brand new public Wells Tech Wave, and you can search for it at Wells Tech Ideas Mind Map when you're in Google, or maybe if you just search on Wells Tech and Google Wave, you'll find it. But the reason I launched this this particular Wave was because Google Wave now has a new app, and that is MindMeister. So you can actually do interactive mind mapping within your Google Wave. So I added a mind map to this new Wells Tech Google Wave, and I invite all our listeners to go out and just play with the mind mapping capabilities that are now part of Google Wave.
Interesting. I have. I know you sent me the invitation, but I haven't loaded it up yet. I'm just trying to load it now, and it's not... It's not popping up for me, but I think some of these utilities, some of these things you can add to the Wave will make it truly that collaborative tool, you know, that they made it out to be, where you can actually get work done. So maybe we'll try and plan a show or two using a Wave instead of our traditional mind map, especially if you can do a mind map right in a Wave now.
Yeah, I got a kick out of it because the map that I put out there was, you know, give us your ideas for future Wells Techs. And so far, Pastor Dan Walters has added an idea, and it was to talk about Google Wave ministry applications. So that'll be a good opportunity for us.
Right. All right, let's move on to our picks of the week, Sally.
And I actually had a couple I wanted to point out. I'm not sure if they're this first one is more news or a pick or whatever, but I wanted to talk about a new website that I found called Square. And the URL, I think, is actually squareup.com. I'm just bringing that up on my computer. But we'll have a link in the show notes. And I heard about this week from the Webby Awards newsletter that I get on a daily basis, where they just point out cool websites, all different genres. And this one is actually a credit card application. It allows you to plug into your mobile device a little hardware that's a credit card swiper, little piece of hardware, and you can actually accept credit cards using your iPod Touch, iPhone, iPad, Nexus One, or Droid smartphones. And it includes an iPod or appropriate application for your phone, which keeps track of all your transactions and gives you all the reporting and data needs that you need with your transactions. And the amazing thing about this is it's totally free. There are no setup fees. You do not need a merchant account. You basically submit your Social Security number and checking account information, and you're able to accept credit card payments for whatever people are willing to pay you with their credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So they even mail you the hardware device for free. So I was, you know, thinking, how can we use this? How does this apply to ministry? And I mentioned it to my husband, and he said, you know, we've been needing to accept credit card payments for school tuition for quite a while, and maybe this is a way we can do that. All you do is pay the fees for this particular transaction. And if you're swiping a credit card, it's 2.75% of the transaction plus a 15-cent transaction fee. So seemed like very reasonable and comparable rates to other merchant type account rates, but with none of the upfront fees or monthly fees that are typically associated with those.
Just looking at the site now, and this little dongle that they have, I thought would plug into the docking jack, but it actually plugs into the audio jack, which is interesting.
Okay.
And it's got a little swipe slot in it. It's real small. It's probably, it almost looks like the size of a postage stamp.
Maybe an inch across.
Yeah, a little cube thing, square, of course. I'm wondering how their site shows a signature line. So I'm wondering how you actually sign this, because you really it's hard to sign with your finger, right? And if you're using an iPhone or a iPod Touch, I assume this works on too, if you're on Wi-Fi. That's really the only way to input. Now, I know that something like this is used in the Apple stores, but they had a little, almost like a Q-tip, you know, for you to sign, because you need some kind of stylus, really, to do a signature. So I wonder, I have to read a little bit more, but I think I'm going to order this. There's no cost to set this up, and not that I really need to take credit card transactions, but I think...
But you'd be equipped for it.
That's right, if I ever needed to.
That's right.
Anybody just wanted to give me money, I'd have a way for them to do that. So
just hand me your card.
But I think there are some ministry uses, as you mentioned, that... you know, maybe for you know, school registration or, you know, other remote, you know, conferences, those kinds of things. This makes some sense. So and it seems like the you don't really need a merchant account, which is usually the one of the big barriers for an organization like a church or a school to take payment, because merchant accounts do cost a month. There's a monthly cost, and you know, they're not that easy to set up, so and there's no contract required here or anything. So, good deal. Nice find. I think that's very intriguing.
Yeah. One more that I need to share, because it had an impact on me this week, and that was I was looking for video conversion, just a quick and easy way to get some videos onto my iPod. So I wanted to convert from maybe an MPEG format, you know, QuickTime for computer playback, not iPod playback, or maybe I have AVIs or whatever. Now, this isn't going to convert things with digital rights management, DRM mm-hmm. technology on DVDs, movies, and things like that, but it will convert any of my home movies so that I can have them on my iPod. And of course, I put embarrassing movies of my kids. And I can
just in case you need to pull that out at an appropriate time.
Yes. The blackmail. But I found a free application. It's IWI Soft. And we'll have a link in our show notes, a quick free download, and they have just an abundant set of presets so that you can just select, you know, iPod video format and not even have to think about what all's involved in that. And it produces a video in that format, and you recognize it in your iTunes, and it will transfer to your iPod and be in your video list. So just a really quick and easy way to get videos on there. Some ministry applications for that, we have been doing a lot of photo slideshows and things like that for different events at our church and school. And being able to put those on my iPod means that I can take them to shut-ins and share them real quickly and easily. And so, you know, I think there are some reasons mm-hmm. why you might want to put some videos on your iPod to share with others. So check out IWI Soft for their free video converter.
Very nice. All right. My pick is actually a mobile operating system called Android. Some of you have maybe heard, and we talked about the iPhone. It has its own operating system, the iPhone operating system, or iOS it's called now. This is the one made by Google, And you're going to be finding this on a lot of smartphones these days. And I bring it up because I just switched phones. I had, as many know, I had an iPhone. And now that's my wife's iPhone. I went back to the Synod's plan. We were on a family plan, but we've made some progress with negotiations with Verizon, are now in a program, and this is available to any call worker. So this hasn't really been publicized yet, so this is the first time I'm really talking about it. But we recently became a premier partner under a group buying program with Verizon. And there's some other vendors in here as well, including Staples and Office Depot and a few others. So this is going to be rolled out as part of our ShopWells program. But through this relationship with the Premier program, you get 22% off any listed rate for Verizon. So it just made more economic sense to go back to the Synod program. And if anybody's interested, just shoot me an email. I can get you more information on that. But it's available at any church or school, or any called worker that's in our Wells yearbook. Anybody would qualify, at least so I'm told. So that's the great news. But anyway, the operating system I'm really excited about because I believe it offers a lot more flexibility. One of the big complaints about Apple is it's a very closed system. And you really only can get what they want you to get and in the time that they want you to get it. And even though the Android marketplace has a lot fewer apps, I think there's a lot more freedom, and so there's a. I think there's a big upside to more of an open operating system like Android, where developers can make new releases, and I think improvements come out a lot faster. I mentioned I wasn't all that impressed with the new operating system from Apple, and that's not just because I just left the iPhone, but the rate at which apps can be developed and updated on the Android is going to be much faster. And to date, there is only a Wells Android app. There is no Wells iPhone app. So that's another good reason, you know, that this would be an operating system that's probably worth having. I was just looking at the Wells app. We talked about this, what, about 2 months ago, Sally?
Probably so. I think Jason Schmidt tested it out for us,
and I did it as well. It works great. So with this app on my cell phone, which is a Droid Incredible, they call it, through Verizon, I can pull up this app and it will show me every feed, RSS feed from Wells, including our podcast. So I can pull up last week's podcast, hit the play podcast button, and I've got it playing right here. So I don't even really need to subscribe via another player. It's just kind of built right in. I can do the daily devotions that way. I can also do the Through the Bible in 3 Year, both of which I listen to every day, or at least whenever they're available. Good stuff. So I just thought I'd throw it out there. There's a new version of Android coming out that does some other things. You have full multitasking and flash video, which is not available on the... on the good old iPhone.
No, it isn't, and no plans for that on the iPhone either. So,
nope.
Good for you. Well, we'll be looking for what your favorite Android apps are then, you know, besides the Wells app.
Besides the
Wells
app.
Of course, that's number one on the list.
Are there any others? Yes.
Yeah. Be curious to hear what kind of Bible applications you can find on.
Yeah, I've got the YouVersion on there. Works really well. Works just like the iPhone app. So.
Very good.
All right. We want to talk a little bit about our Facebook, the Wells Facebook page.
Yep. Made the news on the Together newsletter this past weekend.
Made the news, yes.
And one of the things that was announced, besides the fact that we have a new Facebook page, which we actually talked about a couple of weeks ago, we're a little more breaking than the Together newsletter, apparently, but the fact that we are there, the Wells page on Facebook is now having a giveaway, and that is if you become a fan or like the site, your name will be in the drawing for a $20 Northwestern Publishing House gift card. They're giving away one per week from June through August this year, and you have great odds of winning. There are only 3,950 other fans on the Wells Lutheran site so far. So
it's better than the lottery.
That's true. If you haven't fanned the site yet, then make sure you check it out. It's at facebook.com/WellsLutherans.
Very good. And
And
do we want to
Martin,
give
you
a
have
plug
some.
for our training classes?
Well, yes, I do. We have some training coming up this summer for Final Web users. Final Web is the Synod-sponsored or Synod partner for web hosting. And to date, we have almost 500 congregations and schools using this solution. And it just amazes me, Martin. You and I both get notification when new people sign up for it. And we continue to have folks signing up for the program. It's just really exciting to see all those congregations and schools, you know, realizing the need to be part of the web conversation and putting their face, their best face forward out on the web. And to help you do that, we've set up two training classes this summer. Final Web for Teachers will be July 19th, and it's just a one-day look at all you need to know to administer a great class website. And then Final Web for Dummies runs July 20th through 22nd. This one is 3 days long, and you can pick and choose which of the 3 days you want to attend or attend all three as the you get the webmaster view in this class, kind of the big picture of all the functionality that's possible on your Final website and how to tie it all together and do a great job communicating your church and school via the web. Yep. We're offering those classes both in New Ulm, Minnesota at Martin Luther College and in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Senate Administration Building. And the SAB classes, the ones in Milwaukee, are about full. So if you're planning to attend in Milwaukee, I suggest you get those registrations in this week if possible, because we're real close to closing those class sessions. Lots of room at Martin Luther College in New Ulm. And so if you want a more relaxed and smaller class atmosphere, maybe you need to journey my direction and attend the classes in MLC. But I
know
that. A
lot prettier instructor, too.
Oh, I'm sure. Meals are provided. We do our best to keep you well fed with lots of snacks and things. And we just really had a great time doing this spring and meeting people and hearing about all the great ideas that folks have for their websites, and looking forward to a good experience in July as well.
And New Ulm is beautiful in July here.
It definitely is. And we'll be in air-conditioned comfort, so
that's right.
Can't beat it.
That's right.
Links are available in the show notes to the two registration pages, bit.ly/FW4Teachers and bit.ly/FW4Dummies. So get those registrations in.
Very good.
And while you're at it, you might want to check out Summer Quarter at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, where a friend of mine is going to be leading a productivity class.
That would be me. And yes, I call it Mind Like Water. It's really kind of a modified version of the popular GTD, or getting things done, process that I've kind of mapped to kind of for call worker usage. And this is obviously a class for pastors that if you want to kind of kickstart your productivity, and who of us can't be more productive, there's still openings in that class. I think we have 20 some in the class, but we have a room for a couple more. So I told the folks at SEM to keep it open, and you know, more the merrier. So if you're interested, and you get credit for that, it's a credit course as well. So you'd work toward your, I forget all the acronyms now for what kind of master's level courses are available, but that's what that course can do for you.
That's coming up the first full week in July, Martin. And, you know, I'm thinking back to our book discussion. See how good I am at involving
tying
that
it all
book
together,
and,
yes.
That's right. And, you know, that quote about the number one reason pastors leave the church is feeling inadequate to manage the complexities of the job. And I think your productivity class is going to give them a leg up and help them to have better management skills in that regard.
Nice connection. I like that.
There you go. All right, time for community feedback.
Fire away.
Actually, Martin, I think you're up first. You have shared some really great links for us via the Wells Tech DIGO groups.
The Wells Tech DIGO group, yes, I'm liking that more and more. One is a book called Netcasters. I haven't read this, so I can't, you know, qualify this. I can't. We kind of debated whether we should put this in ministry resources or not, but it was just a blog post from one of our favorite websites, InternetEvangelismDay.com. Where they did a quick review on a book by Craig von Busek, that just came out called Netcasters, Using the Internet to Make Fishers of Men. So I think I'm going to grab this book, and because there's an interview with Craig on the website. And it does sound very intriguing. So just thought I would throw that out there as a potential resource that you might find useful and that we may take a look at together as well.
I think you're kind of working that in there as a potential, you making a decision.
Yeah,
about
I'm not. I'm not pushing it. It's still all your decision, but
okay.
This might be a good choice.
We'll see.
No strings attached. All right, I had two others that I posted on DIGO. One was a hardware pick. Let me see if I can pull this guy up here. Called the Zoom H1 Audio Recorder. I was kind of attracted to this because of our podcast, and I'm always looking for, you know, good compact audio recording devices, and this one looks pretty cool. They actually showed even connected to a camera, but this Zoom H1, let's see, what's the price here? It's a dedicated audio recorder. Great sampling rates, no sacrifice in sound. Oh, come on. Is there a price here someplace?
Must be free.
It must be free. It looks cool. Let me hang on here. I gotta find the price. This makes for a great radio as I'm just surfing around the internet, you know.
That's what we all do. How you learn.
That's right. $99.
There you go.
So that's pretty cheap. Handy recorder available in July 30th. So it's not even available yet. But it looks like something great if you do. It works with SD micro SD cards. Comes, I think, with a 2 gigabyte. And I think for a while there, Sally, and I don't know if you still do this, but you record your Kevin's sermons via... do you still use an audio device like this?
I had an old iRiver.
That's right.
And I used that for years and years. It's like 5 years old now, and actually the iRiver folks aren't even supporting it anymore. So we've been doing recordings in different ways and not using an external device, but doing it through the equipment that we have. But
okay.
I'd like to get another one because it was always convenient to have something small like that
oh,
in my
sure.
purse and able to just do recordings on the fly.
Yeah, if you're interested in recording the sermon or even like a Bible class, it's a very lightweight thing. You can shove it in your pocket and just mic it up, and it's a great resource. So that was the one that I came across. I can't vouch for it, but it got great reviews. And the last one was just an article on mind mapping and why one person really, at least this blogger, really was attracted to the product that we use, Sally, for this podcast, Mind Manager, and all the different uses for it, from brainstorming to meeting notes to all kinds of productivity boosters. I guess I would struggle without this kind of a tool at this point. I've been using it so long and have become very comfortable with it.
Yeah, I think her article was particularly good, Martin, because, you know, as I explain mind mapping to people, I typically get some pretty blank looks.
Yeah.
Like either you get it or you don't, either
right.
you've experienced it or you haven't. And she just went step by step through how important it was to her. She has lots of screenshots and just really good examples of how it makes her life really productive. And so very good article to tag.
Yep.
So next up, we heard from Pastor Rob Gunther, and I loved his question, and I just want to read it to you. He wrote to us via the Wells Tech email address, wellstech@wells.net, and he said, is there a way I can get an RSS feed, say, of the Wells Tech blog, great choice, to send me an email of the updates every time? I don't want a separate RSS feeder. I want it all to come to one spot, my Gmail account. That's where I get my calendar reminders. I email myself to-do items. It shows up on my iPhone and I can archive stuff. But I can't figure out how to send an RSS feed right to my email. Mm-hmm. Any advice? And I
yeah,
just
of course we have advice.
Well, yeah, but just kind of taking a step back, you know, I love how he's simplifying things. You know, he
right.
knows how he wants to receive his data.
One
and he
spot,
wants to
one collection point,
one place.
Yeah.
And that's great. You know, everybody's different and is going to come up with their own systems, but I really appreciate that. And before I actually had a chance to write him back, he wrote me and said, I found one, and it's called Feed My Inbox. And so we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And I think you can set this up to email you up to 5 RSS feeds for free. So it looks really simple and polished and easy to use. I sent him a link to a site called Tabloid, which is one that I had recommended probably 2 years ago, Martin, on the show. And it does the same thing, except it kind of turns your RSS feed into a magazine look. Mm-hmm. So when you receive it, it's a PDF document. All the links work and everything that are embedded in the different things. But it comes up in a nice printable, easy reading kind of delivery. And I've subscribed to this ever since I talked about it on the podcast 2 years ago. And every week I get the Wells Tech podcast in this tabloid format. And it's just very professional looking and easy to share as well as to read via email. So yep. Two solutions there for you, Pastor Gunther. Hopefully that helped you out.
And if I think he said he was using Gmail, but if you're using a tool like Outlook, Outlook does handle RSS feeds pretty well. In fact, you could set up rules to push them over to your inbox if you wanted them, in there, or they could stay in a separate folder as well. So I think the email tools of today are getting more and more sophisticated. You might even be able to work some magic within Gmail itself and the reader. I haven't looked at some of the tools available in Google Reader yet, but there's probably some extension or Firefox something or other that'll do that as well.
And even if it's not live yet, you can often tap into beta things in the Google Labs, so check that out as well. There's always lots of cool stuff going on there.
Yep.
Last up, we have a comment from Pastor Ben Krotz, who's at Our Savior in Birmingham, Alabama. And this ties back to your summer quarter class, Martin. He's found a way to manage his productivity with a site called GQs, with the internet spelling of GQUEUES.com. And he's using it to implement GTD, and mm-hmm. It works with your Google account as a task list. So if you're looking for a solution there, he uses it on his iPhone. There's a mobile page and is, you know, really happy with that solution. So if you're looking for a task list kind of solution to work with your Gmail and things, try out GQs.
Very good. I love it when we get these kind of tips from our listeners. Both the last two have come up with great solutions that might benefit the class, so to speak. So keep those ideas coming.
Keep them coming.
Lots of ways to get in touch with us. WellsTech.wells.net is the web address. You can kind of see the click on the Contact Us tab there, and you see all the myriad of ways, including voicemail, our Facebook page, and so on and so forth. No shortage of channels into the hearts and minds of the Wells Tech team here.
Hearts and minds. There you go.
And we are next week,
starting something new next week, right, Martin?
Yep, we are going to be purposely vague because we're not exactly sure what next week holds, but we know one thing for sure. We're starting a road trip, a virtual road trip of sorts.
And that's right, packing our bags and heading out on the road this summer all across the country to learn about technology that's effective in your ministry settings. Very excited about all the interviews we have coming up this summer on our road trip.
What do we have, about 8 lined up, right?
I think that's the plan, yes.
And we're trying to tag a resource from as many districts as we can, so it's not just exclusive to the Midwest. We'll be going hither and yon for some technology tips and advice from all, you know, kind of people on the streets, people that are actually using this stuff, as opposed to, you know, stuff that we trot out there sometimes thinking this might be good. So here's some great ideas that people are actually using. So
practical, hands-on, and hopefully some how-tos.
Yep,
as well.
Exactly. So tune in next week for the start of our road trip. Let's close the show, shall we, Sally? The music of beautiful music of Kevin Lersch. We picked his song When Love Is Found from his album Abide With Me. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
And love is found, and hope comes home. Sing and be glad that two are one. When love explodes and fills the sky, praise God and share. God for life in age or youth.